Seattle librarian Nancy Pearl has come by again with another list of book recommendations, this time her favorites from the science fiction and fantasy bookshelves, including a book which begins with this sentence.
So there I was, tied to an altar made from outdated encyclopedias, about to get sacrificed to the dark powers by a cult of evil librarians.
The Power of the Librarian, as read by Nancy Pearl, our librarian. The book is called Alcatraz Versus the Evil Librarians. And why did this make the top of your stack?
This is one of the most entertaining books that I've read in recent months that's aimed at 10 to 13-year-olds. The main character is a young 13-year-old named Alcatraz Smedry, who has been sent to one foster home after another for all of his life because his foster parents get very fed up with him breaking things, though he doesn't do it on purpose, he doesn't think. For his 13th birthday, his grandfather, Leavenworth Smedry, comes to tell him that he needs Alcatraz's help in order to defeat this cult of evil librarians who are planning to take over the world.
Can I just ask about this particular book? Because
yes.
The tone of it and the way it's approached reminds me a lot of the Lemony Snicket books. You have this orphan kid who begins talking about how horrible things are and how horrible things are going to become. Is there some connection there and influence?
I certainly think the popularity of the Lemony Snicket books didn't deter Brandon Sanderson from writing this book. The thing that's nice about this book for me is that it also had this very nice message that each of the Smedrys, in addition to being named after a famous prison.
Like Alcatraz
and Leavenworth. But also, what you think of as flaws can turn into great strengths.
Nancy Pearl is our non-evil librarian who sent us a stack of science fiction and fantasy books. And the next on the stack here, this is from Neal Stephenson, Cryptonomicon.
Well, a Cryptonomicon in this book is an imaginary book that has everything about codes and ciphers. And this is a book that I give to people who love World War II adventure stories, spy novels. And Neal Stephenson, I mean, this is a really hugely ambitious, brilliant book. It's got a wide range of characters. He has included real people like Ronald Reagan and Douglas MacArthur, but he has his invented characters mix and mingle with them. And so it's set partly during World War II in the Pacific Theater and also at Bletchley Park outside London, where all the codes and deciphering of German coded transmissions were being undertaken. And then it's also partly in the present, where a bunch of computer geeks are trying to set up a data haven in a imaginary country. So it's all those things. He handles the transitions between and among those different places really well. There are characters in there that I think the readers will, that I have come to care for.
Now, here's a book from the 1970s mm-hmm. by Joe Haldeman, The Forever War. And just as you sometimes get DVDs that say the director's cut, this says the author's preferred edition of the groundbreaking SF classic. What
yes.
happened here?
This is one of the great anti-war novels, I think, along with All Quiet on the Western Front, perhaps. What happened is that it was originally published in serial form, and the second or third big chapter is quite depressing, and I think that that was left out of some of the earlier editions of it. But this has it in there, and it really belongs in there. This is a book that Joe Haldeman wrote following his service in combat in the Vietnam War. And the hero's experiences, William Mandela's experiences in this war that lasts for 14 centuries Earth time, but only a few years for the people who are fighting it, traveling at near the speed of light. It's just
that slows down time for people. That's
yes.
actually Einstein's theory.
But, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and he makes use of that in this book, so that what is 14 centuries on Earth is really a few years at most for the people who are fighting in this war.
Well, you're saying it reflects the Vietnam War. I just wonder. I'm looking at the back jacket here, and it says of the Forever War, the Earth's leaders have drawn a line in the interstellar sand, despite the fact that the fierce alien enemy they would oppose is inscrutable, unconquerable, and very far away. Are there hints of the present time in this book?
I think that this is a book that is about every war. I think it grew out of Haldeman's experience in Vietnam, but I think that what they find in here is that the soldiers are just there to carry out the orders of higher-ups who often have no idea of what it's really like in combat. And so in that sense, I think it could be World War One, it could be the Iraq conflict, it could be any of those things. And the soldiers who come home from a war always find their world very, very much changed from when they left it, whether it's 14 months or 14 centuries.
Mm. Here's another book on your stack. Guy Gavriel Kay, The Last Light of the Sun.
The Last Light of the Sun belongs in a group of books that I think we could call historical fantasies. Guy Gavriel Kay has done a whole series of these, and what you get is a fantasy that is set in a world that is very, very recognizable, and yet it's subtly different, often because Guy Gavriel Kay has added bits of magic here and there.
Where are we in the theoretical past here?
We're in the 9th century.
The Middle Ages, basically.
Early Middle Ages, and we're in England. What's going to become England. And we're in the midst of what was occurring in the 9th century, which was all of these, the Anglo-Saxons, the Vikings, and the Celts are all battling one another for supremacy. I found this would be a great book to hear read aloud.
Do you want to read us a paragraph before we go on?
Okay. This is just the beginning, chapter one. A horse, he came to understand, was missing. Until it was found, nothing could proceed. The island marketplace was crowded on this gray morning in spring. Large, armed, bearded men were very much present, but they were not here for trade. Not today. The market would not open, no matter how appealing the goods on a ship from the south might be. He had arrived, clearly, at the wrong time. Isn't that good?
Very clear, very visual.
And I always feel with his books, with Guy Gavriel Kay's books, that you really learn so much as well as having all of that enjoyment of reading the book.
Nancy Pearl is the author of Book Lust and More Book Lust and Even More Book Lust and lots of Book Lust after that.
Right.
And what's the latest one called again?
Book Crush.
Book Crush. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
You can see all of Nancy Pearl's sci-fi and fantasy picks at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.